Blog Talk Radio.
Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, keeping you up to date on the ins, outs, and everything happening in Alexandria, Virginia, with your host, Lee Hernley.
Does great podcast intros and outros and lots of voiceover work. She does our intros and outros, and you can find her at intromachine.com. That's intromachine.com. Any sound effects also that you hear on tonight's podcast is from freesound.org. That's freesound.org. On tonight's episode of the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, we are live from Mason Social in Alexandria, or as Brent Musburger would say,
you are looking live. The crowd ready to explode. Settle back, folks. Just enjoy the moment. Showdown is coming up.
Yes, thank you, Brent. As our readers know and our social media followers know, I've always talked very highly of Mason Social, and was here about a week or so ago and tried the bone, the marrow burger that's on their menu here. It's made with grilled Vidalia, marrow butter, pepper jack, lettuce, tomato, and oh my God, it is so good. It's one of the best burgers I've had so far, and but tonight I'm here to try the Louisiana barbecue sliders that are made with B&B smoky lemon barbecue chicken, crispy onions, grilled sweet rolls. Oh, yum, yum, yum. On this episode of the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, we are talking election 2015 in Alexandria, Virginia, with Republican City Council candidate Bob Wood at 720. He'll be calling in at 7:40. We expect to hear from school board candidate Veronica Nolan, who will be talking to Alexandria City Public Schools. So you can join in on the fun. You can join in on the fun at blogtalkradio.com/redbricktown. Just click on episode 7. You can join the live chat if you got any questions that you want to ask me. Or you can join us down here at Mason Social. As you can likely hear, the joint is jumping. They've got a big crowd tonight for the NFL, which is tonight, which I believe is Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. And the good folks at Mason Social are pushing football every night, every day that football is on here. And as you can likely hear, there's a big crowd tonight. If you'd like to call into the podcast, listeners can do so. You can't do it on demand, but you can do it live at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. If you go to our website, redbricktown.com. You can click on the link for today's podcast and leave questions in the comments there. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/redbricktown and leave me a comment there, or you can tweet me at redbricktown, or you can go to the website redbricktown.com and click on contact me and send me an email. About the podcast, you can find the podcast on redbricktown.com by doing a search on the site for a podcast, or you can go on the right-hand side of the screen, and you can click on the Red Brick Town Radio podcast link. Once you get to the page, be sure and subscribe via iTunes. We're working on other ways for you to subscribe on Android devices. We have the iTunes link there, as it is one of the most popular ways people listen to us is on Apple devices, whether it is an Apple iPhone or tablet. You can also listen to the podcast through our app. And if you go on the website, redbricktown.com, and click on one of the app banners, you can go there and download it. And if you look under the feeds tab, we have a list of our podcasts there, and you can listen to us right from the app. Speaking of the app, we're later on tonight, I'll be updating with some of the latest photos on there. As I just mentioned, we just recently updated the app with how you can listen to the podcast. So we can do essentially everything right from the app. You can view our social media posts on Facebook and Twitter. You can view our Instagram posts. You can view our newsfeed and events and the podcast. Now, we always take feedback. Feedback is always welcome, and you can submit feedback in a variety of ways, much like what I just said about tonight's show. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/redbricktown, and leave me a message there, or you can tweet me at redbricktown, or shoot me an email at redbricktown.com/contactme. And you can shoot me an email that way, and we always tend to respond pretty quickly. If I don't send you an email right away, it is typically because I get roughly about 20,000 emails a week now for a variety of reasons. So I tend to reply as quickly as I can. And that's likely because our social media reach is now covering right around 1 million people. If you don't know, we have roughly somewhere we're going to cross 3,900 Twitter followers. Then we're almost nearing, I think, 5,400 Facebook followers. And reach is the potential audience for a message based on total follower count plus the number of followers that your followers have, such as, you know, somebody likes your page, then it goes on their page, on their newsfeed, you know, and everybody can see it. Somebody retweets something, it goes to their followers, so everybody in their timeline can see it, and so on and so forth. So our reach now is hovering somewhere around 1 million people. One new thing that we launched recently, in case you missed it, is we are starting up a shop with merchandise, and we're doing that in partnership with Spreadshirt.com. If you go on our website, redbricktown.com/shop, you can see the couple of shirts that I have there now. And please send me some feedback on them. Tell me if you like them, don't like them, or give me some ideas on things you'd like to see on the shirts. Each of the shirts has our logo on the front. And then on one of the shirts, it has a design we had to buy for, it says Straight Out of Alexandria. I think they're really nice. And then the other one has a flag on the back. So go to the website, redbricktown.com/shop, and let me know what you think. You're listening to the Red Brick Town Radio podcast, and as I mentioned earlier tonight, we are talking with Republican City Council candidate Bob Wood, who's calling in at 7:20. And at 7:40, we'll be talking with Alexandria City School Board candidate Veronica Nolan. But tonight we are here at Maison Social. And as I mentioned, I came here a week or so ago and had the Marrow Burger. But Maison Social is really Alexandria's newest hot hangout. As you know, the Parker Gray neighborhood has Richmond Sugar Shack Donut Shop. They have a great shop there. It's like on a weekly donut run there. And Parker Gray area is also the newest home for Bastille, which is another really great restaurant. The Maison Social opened February here, and it's a new restaurant founded by four Alexandria residents who are also friends: Chad Sparrow, Justin Sparrow, Larry Walston, and Teddy Kim. They have a brand new menu that just came out, I believe, on the 14th of September. They've got some what they call hold me overs, some salads. And last time I was here, my wife had the Asian salad, and she highly recommends that one. And I think I'm supposed to take her a Southwest salad home tonight, so I will do that on my way out the door tonight. Like I said, they have NFL on the TV all the time here as well, so I'll be hanging around here. So if you are listening live, you can come down and hang out, and we can watch some football together. Some of the things on the main courses, they have the Maison fried chicken, which I may have to come back and try. They have pesto rigatoni, which I saw somebody have here earlier. They have the marrow burger, which is their staple, and some more really good items. And I got a side of the mac and cheese. I also got the, as I said earlier, the Louisiana barbecue sliders, which I'm going to take a photo of because they look fantastic. The design of the restaurant that I'm sitting in here is inspired by the Belpre Bottle Company, which we have posted about before on redbricktown.com. And the Belpre Bottle Company would have been located directly across from the restaurant where the Belpre apartments are now. From the early 1800s to the early 1900s, the restaurant's name comes from Thomas Mason, who was Alexandria's mayor from 1827 to 1830. And they have Maison jars for drinks and decorative glass bottles are part of the decor. And there's a nice mural. There was a nice mural in here that goes back to the area's factory days. And the dining room, I can't tell you, they have some really nice exposed brick here, and the place is a really great place to come and eat. They do have late hours, and they are, like I say, pushing football as often they can during the week. They could do it every night, I'm sure they would, because Parker Gray hasn't really been known for late night hangouts, but this is the place to be if you need a late night hangout. Bar stays open late night. Can stay open late night, 2 a.m. Thursday through Saturday. Kitchen can remain open after dinner. They have a limited bar menu here. And they also have what I'm really eager to try is a fantastic weekend brunch. Also, the news, of course, as everyone knows, Hurricane Joaquin is coming by us this weekend. But before that, we've got a bit of flooding from a nor'easter that is passing us by. So we have launched our live blog online there. So we go online there and check it out. We'll have that live through Sunday. We'll be posting live updates of weather-related items there. And you can also share photos with us. And on the live blog, there's how you can share photos with us, which we will post there. And these live blogs are a way of compiling that stuff. Oops, I pushed the wrong button there. Look for that through Sunday. And a lot of people have asked about sandbags, and as we posted online on redbricktown.com, the city will provide up to five free sandbags per residential or business address starting tomorrow at from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at King and Lee Streets, and again at and also at 133 South Quaker Lane. If you're going to be picking up sandbags, you'll be asked to show proof of residence or business ownership, such as a driver's license or utility bill. Sandbags should be returned to either pickup location after the storm and should not be disposed of with normal trash or recycling. We've posted instructions on redbricktown.com for how to best use sandbags as well. Also, in the news today, the organizers of Art on the Avenue decided to postpone Art on the Avenue by 1 week. And their email said, quote, due to the forecast of severe weather, including flooding rains and strong winds, it is with great disappointment to announce that Saturday's 20th annual Art on the Avenue is being postponed until October 10th. Organizers participated this morning in a conference call with city officials, and the difficult decision was based on the state of emergency declared by the governor in the City of Alexandria recommendation. Chairperson Pat Miller stated, quote, nothing is more important than the safety of our vendors, our volunteers, and our faithful attendees. Due to the strong potential of flooding in both the fields and the streets, electrical concerns, winds picking up, tents, and the need for our law enforcement to be taken care of weather emergencies, we feel this was the only responsible decision. The organizers are sorry for any inconvenience this causes and hope everyone is able to still come out October 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. to celebrate Art on the Avenue's 20th anniversary. This is the first time in the history the event has had to be postponed. Also, news today, I'm still hearing rumors from people who are asking whether or not the rumor is true, from quite a lot of people, that whether Aldi is not going to take over the Monroe Avenue Giant food store. I get asked on Twitter, text, and email about this quite a lot. I can tell you that the rumor is 100% false. Aldi Food Market is still going to take over the store. One thing that may be fueling the rumor is that Giant Food's lease on the existing building runs until January 31st of next year, so nothing can be done on or to that building until that time. I have confirmed with Aldi's attorney that Aldi has filed its building permit plans with the city and looks forward to opening the new store on Monroe Avenue. So Aldi Food Market is still coming to the Delray area on Monroe Avenue. And just a reminder, we have a great supporter of the blog. That's Alexandria Renew, who is celebrating the opening of Alexandria's new multi-purpose athletic field on the Day of Music, Sustainability, and Community at Family Field Fest, which is happening October 24th. First ever Family Field Fest will have all sorts of sports, all sorts of activities, which they just posted. So if you go to redbricktown.com and click on the Family Field Fest ad, you can find it there. So go to redbricktown.com and click on Family Field Fest. In just a minute, we'll be talking with Bob Wood, our Republican City Council candidate. Bob is a lifelong Alexandrian, Bob first moved to Alexandria Seminary Valley in 1964. He's attended Hammond and then T.C. Williams High School and graduated, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the same class as Bill Ewell. I'm going to ask one question I'm going to ask him. Bob chose a career of military service after graduating from the United States Military Academy at West Point in 1972. He said, throughout 36 years of Army experience, Bob served as commander in combat, a leader responsible for the readiness of critical military forces. He was a strategic planner at the White House and Army level. He has also been an educator, and he has broad experience successfully leading and administering complex organizations in challenging times. So let's see about welcoming in Bob Wood. Hello,
yeah,
Bob.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Good evening. Bob Wood here.
Yes, sir. Well, I so appreciate you joining us this evening. And as you can likely tell, it's pretty packed here tonight at Maison Social. Been to Maison Social before?
No, I haven't, but I sure appreciate the opportunity.
Well, as I mentioned in your bio, that you graduated TC, you're pretty much a lifelong resident of Alexandria. Am I right in saying that you and Bill Yule graduated in the same class from TC?
Yeah, we did. I was an Army brat, so I was here with my father who was working in the Pentagon, but I couldn't say lifelong because after graduating from high school, 4 years here, first in Hammond, then at TC Williams, I went to West Point and went off to 36 years in the military. So I only was back here periodically about three times, living in a variety of places in Alexandria. I knew this is where I was coming back to. Thankfully, my bride fell in love with this place just as I did, and my kids went to Bishop Ireton, so we knew we were always coming back to Alexandria.
Well, that's awesome. And again, so thank you for your service as a military guy, and I also thank you for your service as an educator. Because personally, I think teachers don't get thanked enough.
No, I agree. I agree. I'm very proud of the fact that as a Republican, the teachers have endorsed me. I had a chance to talk to them, talk about my experiences, my insights. And frankly, listen to them about what they're interested in doing. I count the educator side of what I was doing in the military as important.
Yes, and I so appreciate you taking time in between. I think you're in between events tonight. I know you're at the WEBA Happy Hour. How did the WEBA folks like what you had to say?
Well, it was a very good group, a very large group. We were at the Port City Brewery, which is really a success story for Alexandria, off on Wheeler Avenue. And they were a lot of energy there, a lot of really anticipation to a lot of work going on the West End and the Eisenhower West End study and the small area plan. Excited about that. Frankly, looking to bring services to the West End and grow the business-friendly environment out there.
Okay, so with all first-time guests, we tend to do a rapid-fire interview first. So I ask you some short questions so I and our listeners can get to know you a little bit. Then we'll get into some little meatier questions. So we've already covered that you pretty much grew up here. What was your first job you had?
First job ever? The first job was out in Lincolnia, a shoe salesman on the far side of what we called Shirley Highway or 395, out at the end of Duke beyond Landmark. I sold shoes at the shopping center just beyond 395 as you head out Duke Street. That was my first job.
And what would your ideal job be? Now, I'll give you an example. My ideal job, for whatever reason, would be sports agent. I just think that would be a really cool job to have. So what would be your ideal job?
City Council, Alexandria, Virginia. Of course I have to say that. And it is an ideal job. I'd like to serve the community in the way I've served the military in our country. I have an entrepreneurial spirit, though, I have to admit. And so I'm very proud of being able to foster the opportunities for veterans in the city, and doing it at the incubator I've helped establish over Trader Joe's on Washington Street. So I really think my heart's in helping, in this case, veterans, but actually those who are trying to build their future. And so doing that either in the city council or doing that, my heart certainly with my veterans, I had an opportunity to serve with wonderful men and women in the military. That's probably where I'll end up, helping give back. You get to a point where that's important to you, and you can take advantage of every bit of training and every bit of experience you might have had in whatever profession you're in, and give back to those who are trying to open up their own opportunities. So that's probably my ideal job, is being the best proponent and advocate for those who are trying to build their own future.
Now, building on that, am I not mistaken, but did you, like, you played a part in creating the Capital Post, which is helps veterans businesses, or did you just play a part in that?
No, I'm very happy. Last time I ran for office, Bill Yule said, "Bob, you're so interested in this area of entrepreneurship and building business. Why don't you talk to the Alexandria Economic Development Partnership Chair, Val Hawkins?" Val and I got together, and through 2 years of study and meetings and engagement, we learned that there's a very important need here to transition veterans coming out of the forces in Fort Myer and Andrews Air Force Base and a variety of other locations, and allow them an opportunity to find a job, build a job, build a profession, build a business, for that matter, in Alexandria, a great place to do business. So, I'm very proud of the fact that I was co-creator or co-founder of Capital Post, which is a actual incubator for veteran businesses. We can do the same thing in Arlandria, quite frankly, for disadvantaged 8A businesses. I'm glad that for what we did, I'd like to do more for our city as a council member.
Now, are you a tech guy?
A tech guy? Well, I actually, in a job that I, after starting and running a business here for 4 years, a small business, I am now a member, I am now the chief operating officer of what's called AFCEA, which is Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association, which is all about everything to do with technology and information technologies in particular. But while I was in the military, I was primarily a user, an operator, and a person who valued those skills. And frankly, as I was at the end of my career for the 4 years down in Norfolk, when I was the Deputy Commander of Joint Forces Command, I started by being the chief of experimentations for our military. So I do have a kind of a technology bent, but I'm an operator at heart, and I look at how it's used to support problem solving.
So I was getting to the reason why I asked whether you were a tech guy was I was getting at, are there any apps that you like the most?
Well, I'm trying to convince myself to buy an Apple Watch because I think it has a remarkable application in this next in the generation we're in. No, I can't say there's an app that I particularly like. I'm always fascinated by Google Maps because I can't believe it gets me from A to B. But I'm not particularly enamored by it, one app.
And what's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, my goodness. Forrest Gump. I like the music. I like the story. And it's remarkable writing.
Okay, and for our last rapid-fire interview question, what is your top bucket list item?
My top bucket list item. I never got a chance to attend what's called High Altitude Low Opening HALO, so I would love to have the opportunity to do free fall from a high altitude. I just never had a chance to do that in the military, although it was offered a number of opportunities when I served with the Rangers and helped create the Special Forces Ranger Battalion.
Well, that's awesome. Well, now we'll get to some of the meatier questions. We want our listeners and readers to be more informed voters and hear the answers provided by the candidates for city council for themselves before they head to the polls on November 3rd. Now, I know you ran in 2012, and Newt Gingrich famously said one time that the most he learned about campaigning was when he lost the first time, and you lost in 2012. So what have you learned about campaigning during that election that you are doing differently this time?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with, I think we were on the right message as it related to this accelerating density and I think the danger it poses to our own neighborhoods. But I think I was probably not as focused as I needed to be to the broadest community in Alexandria. That means not only the West End, but Seminary Valley and Rosemont and all the other communities. The thing you learn about Alexandria, it's a community of neighborhoods. So being able to, frankly, understand and talk to those neighbors and those neighborhoods in a way that's meaningful to them was something I learned how to do then, and I'm doing much better now.
And is there a issue, or are there issues that you have heard from voters as you go door to door that really resonates with them?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I started out looking at the waterfront, given I'm now living in Old Town. I've lived in off Armistead, I've lived off Jenny's Lane, and I now live down in Old Town. So I've been all over the city in my past and where I've lived. But what I find is neighborhood by neighborhood, place by place, there are citizens surprised by planning the city undertakes without involving the citizens early. So you find bike lanes on King Street, they're surprised by TNES, Transportation Environmental Service decisions they frankly never had a voice in and found out too late. You've got waterfront with all of its concerns. You've got Beauregard and the Beauregard plan, which failed to account for the environmental impact and the infrastructure shortcomings. You've got a variety of areas and places, bike lanes on King Street I mentioned, but bus rapid transit lanes on Duke Street. So community by community, we find planning shortfalls, and the fact of the matter is the citizens aren't involved early enough to make a difference. So they're handed a decision after the fact in their own feeling. They're discounted in dialogue with the community, with the city council. And so what I find fascinating is everybody thinks they're isolated in the problem sets they face. But when you look at it, as I have an opportunity to do, and see it neighborhood by neighborhood, issue by issue, it all comes back centrally to the idea of citizens not involved, decisions being made outside common sense, and all of it linked together by, frankly, a chase for revenue to pay down the debt that the city's found itself in.
That's awesome. Now, I do have a business question. What do you believe to be the top three most pressing concerns to the business community in Alexandria?
Taxes, parking, and city bureaucracy. Would you like me to go into those?
That does lead into part B is that Democrats candidates say there's good government work going on. If you can build on that, give me an example of where government isn't working for the people of Alexandria.
Well, I go to planning very much. Planning, I'm a planner from background. I'm a planning from experience. I do not believe that planning is looking long term, and it's done piece by piece, part by part. They do not look at the effects of a decision on the Old Colony Inn to double its capacity or a landmark and its inability to attract investors, or the waterfront and its out of scale, out of place approach. And so what that does when they look at this planning approach piece by piece, parcel by parcel, is they never address the impacts on the network of our transportation, on the overall impact on school and school numbers in our schools, or the infrastructure based on sewers or communications pipelines, a variety of things. So the piecemeal planning is a huge governmental shortfall. They do not look at the overall account of what these changes and decisions are making as a city. Instead, they worry parcel by parcel, project by project. And it forces us to worry, frankly, suffer transportation and parking problems, infrastructure shortfalls, and schools which aren't achieving what I think they could achieve. That's the biggest governmental shortfall is short-sighted planning that doesn't take into account the net effect of all of these decisions.
Okay. Now we'll move on to a hot button issue. Since you mentioned that you lived on Jenny's Lane, as I did when I was growing up, how would you vote regarding any Confederate symbols like changing the street signs in Alexandria? What are your thoughts on that?
Alexandria is an authentic city. You do not have to read history in Alexandria. You need to just go take a walk. And the more we essentially neuter our history and discount our history as part of what made us, frankly, by the way, there's a tour bus that's keeping me from traveling in my car right now. There's nothing but interest in our city, and that's because we are authentic. And the more we turn it vanilla or neutral I think we're going to lose the opportunity we have to build the best and biggest industry we have, and that's tourism, to discount the lessons we've learned from history, and to really create a city that doesn't have character or authenticity. I am definitely not in favor of renaming or renorming what we've done as history in this city. I'll tell you, though, the Confederate flag can go find a museum resting place.
Okay, and another hot button issue is education. A lot of people are concerned about our schools here. So I wanted to get your thoughts on the recent SOL test scores, which have improved. But when you compare Alexandria to the other jurisdictions, we still lag way behind. So what are your thoughts on the recent SOL test scores, and how would you work to make the public school system more accountable?
Well, I celebrate those test scores going up. I'm not about to rain on that parade. That shows a lot of hard work by teachers, students, and parents. So I'm not about to discount that improvement at all. It's about time. And frankly, I think getting rid of the last superintendent and bringing in a very good superintendent and bringing in a tremendous, I think, chair of the school board, I believe that we're making progress and we're moving in the right direction, but for too long, we have lost, I think, a sense of purpose and a sense of direction by too many layers of too many programs brought in by too many superintendents who've not accomplished the job. So first and foremost, I'd make sure that we have eliminated most of these consultants and programs which are taking teachers away from teaching and students away from learning. I would make sure that we account for the fact that our school system has an enormous amount of transition in it. The thing that makes our, and I know this as a student who went to T.C. Williams and the kids who went to the schools here, that what we have is an enormous amount of transition in the populations we serve. That could be kids that are coming as a military brat who've learned in other systems and have to now achieve in this one. It could be people who have language difficulties or language differences that have to be accounted for in the way we educate. So transition services, taking students from where they are to where they need to go instead of assuming a cookie cutter, is applicable for students who may not have even had a sixth grade in South Sudan. We have to have transition programs that take students from where they are to where they need to go and do it with a certain amount of personal attention as opposed to some sort of a generic approach. The second thing we have to do is we need to celebrate excellence in education. If we can celebrate football wins for T.C. Williams, we can sure celebrate achievement and education we have from our schools and our students. Third is we need to pay attention to our science, technology, engineering, and math programs. I happen to be biased that way because of the job I have. But we need to build for the 21st century education that our students need. And by the way, to have a diverse education, the diverse student population, I believe, is more of an advantage than a disadvantage, because we're really more 21st century than we really realize in the students we have in our schools, in the subjects we can frankly cause them to achieve in, and frankly a community that would involve themselves much broader, much better if they understood that we're turning the corner and we're making progress, and the SOL schools register, I'm sorry, the SOL scores register that fact.
Well, Bob, thank you for joining us tonight. So now, are there any events that your campaign has coming up?
On the 23rd of October, I have a lot of events coming up. The one I'm really proud of is on the 23rd of October in John Strongbow's. It's a restaurant here on King Street. It's a remarkable restaurant that does a reenactment of kind of medieval actors. But it's really owned by a number of veterans in as a group, and they're going to have an event that I'm very happy to host that's going to allow donations that go towards the incubator I mentioned earlier, the Capital Post. So it's an event that's with veterans, for veterans, but frankly for those who serve and celebrate those who serve. It's at John Strongbow's just north of Washington Street on King Street. Very proud of that event, very happy to host it, and I'm very hopeful that we get donations that don't go to my campaign, that go to building that incubator I mentioned, Capital Post, above the Trader Joe's on Washington Street. So that's the one I mentioned, the 23rd of October.
Okay, Bob, and what's your website?
It's woodforcouncil.com. I'm very proud of my website. Please go, and it tells you everything I stand for. I've spent time writing and posting those things I believe in. I ask for your attention on that, and I hope you find it interesting, and I take your questions seriously if you ask them of me.
All right, well, Bob Wood, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and good luck in your campaign, and we'll see you on the campaign trail.
I'll see you on November 3rd when you're voting for Bob Wood.
Yes, sir. That's Bob Wood for City Council. Go to woodforcouncil.com to learn more. Now we're going to welcome in Veronica Nolan. Veronica, how are you?
Great, Lee. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I apologize. We ran a little long with Republican City Council candidate Bob Wood. But we're very excited to have you on our program.
Thanks so much for having me. I very much enjoyed listening earlier to the earlier podcast. It's been great.
Oh, these have gone really well. We started out with, I think we had 12 people listed initially on our first one. Now our last couple have gone just a little over 5,000 listens. So I'm very excited about that. Hope to grow it more and more. So in lieu of me reading your bio here, we normally do a rapid-fire type of interview for the first part. So one of the questions is about where you grew up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you instead?
Sure. I was born in New York City in a neighborhood called Inwood. And then we moved around a few times thanks to my father's job. My father was with DEA. And so we were then raised in northern Jersey and then moved to Detroit and then had the pleasure of being in the D.C. metro region for the last 25 years. And I've been in Alexandria for the last 13.
Now like Bob Wood, I believe you were a teacher.
Yes, I had the distinct pleasure of starting my career as a classroom teacher. I taught Spanish at Eastern Senior High School in Washington, D.C. And I'm actually
thank you for your service as a teacher, because teachers don't get thanked enough.
Oh, I got to be honest, I absolutely love the profession. And in fact, I failed to mention I'm also teaching now. I'm a professor of English at Trinity University.
And I'm just looking for something here. Okay. There. I hear it may sound social. I'm trying to keep all my papers straight, and so I'm not doing very well at the present time. So what was your first job you ever had?
Let's see. So the first job I ever had actually was a newspaper delivery person at the age of 9, and I've been pretty much having a job ever since.
And what would your ideal job be? I might put that out there because, mine would be sports agent. I could go into a long diatribe about that, about why that would be the coolest job in the world. But what would be your ideal job to have?
So I'm not just saying this. I always feel very, very lucky that I always feel whatever job I've been in has been in my ideal job. I give so much to whatever job I'm in. I don't even look at it as a job, but it's more of a calling and a passion. So honestly, every time I've been in a job, it's one that I would gladly have done for free and one that I really felt honored by and excited about. So every single day I will say the theme all of my jobs have had for the last 20 years is working on behalf of students and getting a qualified education, just getting exceptional education. And so that's my passion. So I've just been honestly really lucky that I've always felt like whatever job I'm in is my ideal job. Because you spend a lot of time at work, right? So you might as well enjoy it.
And what's your favorite movie of all time?
Well, Lee, I have to say, I really enjoy a good 1980s John Hughes teen angst movie. That's sort of I can never go wrong with that genre. If I had to pick one of them, I probably would pop in. I probably have seen Breakfast Club more times than I care to admit.
And for our last rapid fire question, can you name your top bucket list item?
So all of my bucket item lists honestly had to do with travel. I have a list of places I would love to see. I was very fortunate this past summer to cross off one of those bucket items when we went. My family and I had the honor of going to South Africa. And so I'd have to say it has to do with travel, like either perhaps Brazil or Argentina or Australia or Hawaii or somewhere, somewhere crossing off one of those next travel places is probably like my big to-do on the bucket list.
That's awesome. Well, you are listening to the Red Brick Town Radio Podcast, and we are interviewing Veronica Nolan, who's running for Alexandria City School Board, and we are holding these interviews because we want our listeners and readers to be a more informed voter and hear the answers provided by the candidates for City Council and School Board before they head to the polls on November 3rd. So my first question would be, why is it a good idea for us to vote for you for School Board?
Well, what I think I bring to the table is just my one of the things I think I bring to the table is my experience in education. I've been really fortunate that every single day for the last 20 years I've worked on behalf of serving young people to ensure they receive a quality education. So I believe, my classroom teaching experience, so I have an understanding of how school board policy set, how it affects the day-to-day and produces measurable results for students and teachers. I also have been very fortunate that I had a leadership position for the last 12 years where I was the CEO of an incredible nonprofit called Urban Alliance, where we helped high school seniors get jobs in professional Fortune 100 companies such as Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Marriott, the World Bank, and help them gain the skills they needed to be successful both in the workplace and in college. So I also have an understanding, having grown 300 public-private partnerships with businesses throughout the country, I have a strong, and being a college professor right now, I also have a strong understanding of what colleges and businesses are looking for from high school graduates and how to ensure that young people are ready. Through my leadership experience, I've also had the honor of being able to manage an incredibly talented team, as well as understand budgets and understand how HR policies affect morale and culture, and understanding strategic planning and how to create one and how to foresee it through and make it happen. So I think, again, my education experience, my business experience, I've also had the pleasure of serving on 7 boards that were focused on youth-serving organizations. So I also understand board governance and what it's like to oversee a budget and in terms of when operations are affecting young people. And lastly, I also understand the lens of a parent. I've been a proud ACPS parent for the last 7 years, and thanks to my kindergartner starting at Maury the last few weeks, I have 13 more years of investment to go as a parent. So, again, I would say classroom experience, business experience, understanding the end result that businesses and colleges are looking for, board governance experience, as well as having that parent lens, I think are a unique blend that I'm hoping to utilize and serve the young people in our community on the board.
Now, just for my education, and I'm sure our listeners and readers as well, you're running in, I believe, District B. Now, can you explain what your district covers and about that? Because I'm still trying to learn that myself. So what does District B entail?
Sure. So District B is the middle of the city of Alexandria. It's sort of, you can look at it as if you took the city and, granted, it's not exactly a straight line. There's some crooked parts of it, but it's primarily the middle part of the city. So for those familiar with Alexandria schools, the best way you can think about it is if you're within walking distance of Polk Elementary School, Charles Barrett, Maury, George Mason, and Douglas MacArthur, you are likely to be in District B. It encompasses 9 voting precincts in the middle of the city.
Well, that's awesome. I'm a little more having a better idea, and that's very much appreciated. I do have Michael on the line who wants to ask you a question. You up to taking questions?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, hold on. This is the first time I've done this, so hopefully this goes well. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. Thank you.
Okay, I've got Veronica Noel on the line. What question would you like to ask her?
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Ms. Nolan, the credentials, you sound pretty credible with them, but I'm not concerned about that as much as I am communication. I was hoping you could let us know how you will make communication a priority within being a school board member, be it access to you and or communicating to the public what it is that the school board is looking to do, and not only with the parents, but also with the students as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question, Michael. Thank you for listening and also being interested in the school board election. I really appreciate how much the community is paying attention and interested in our schools, as well as understanding the school board's role in that. So with regards to communication, I take very seriously being a school board member. Doesn't mean I'm coming in with an agenda, but rather you are here to represent the community. And it does include many of the stakeholders you mentioned: students, parents, teachers, principals, folks that work in the schools on a daily basis, as well as just the general population of the community. So, in fact, I spent my summer talking to nearly 150 stakeholders of ACPS to really dig deep and understand the layers and also a variety of folks' concerns, as well as some positive things that they feel are going in the right direction and would like to continue. I've hosted student focus groups, teacher focus groups, parental focus groups, just trying to understand. So I'm very into collaborative and service leadership, and that includes making sure you are, number one, accessible to folks and that you are representing what's in the best interest of the community. So that's sort of my mantra. Anyone who's known me or worked with me professionally can vouch that that's exactly the style of how I like to represent myself, as well as understand that when you're in a leadership position, you're not there for your own agenda, but rather to represent the community's needs. So with regards to, I want to make sure, though, I'm answering your question in terms of, was there something specific that you were interested in knowing what the community's brought to my attention, or was it more of a, you're interested in my style and approach to ensuring that the community's voice is at the table?
Oh, Veronica, I'm sorry, we lost Michael, but I thought that was a really good question.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think he hit the nail on the head, just to reiterate the point in terms of making sure that I think it's critical that the school board has its pulse on the variety of stakeholders, because while we all care about the community and the schools, there are going to be a variety of opinions. That said, what I continue to be, I've always, in my 20 years of working with students, what I continue to have as my moral compass is ultimately what is in the best interest of children, all children. And I think if you work with that as your guidepost, then everything else will pretty much fall into play, because at the end of the day, that's what we all want as a community, and that's the intention of making sure we have excellent schools.
In the few minutes we have left, there are two other questions I have for you. One is on redistricting, and one is on the SOL scores. So my next question would be, the next school board is going to be addressing the boundary adjustments and attendance zone changes that come with redistricting. What would be your guiding principles regarding economic or racial segregation, neighborhood schools, magnet schools, class and school sizes, busing policies, and other considerations when it comes to redistricting of our school system?
How much time are you giving me for that one, Lee? that's a pretty heavy question. And it's redistricting is absolutely going to be at the forefront of many folks' mind, as I think what we also do is we want to take a step back and understand that redistricting is coming about because of the overcrowding of schools. And so I think first we have to understand, why is redistricting being brought to the table? Because I don't feel like it's the ultimate solution, but I feel it's one possible option facing the larger picture, which is indeed that while it's exciting, so many local folks and community members want to take advantage of the education ACPS offers, it is also providing a situation where we have dire overcrowding in the majority of our schools. And so that's what I think redistricting is one of the solutions to. That said, I think I'm really excited that I think when you make major decisions like this, I'm excited that ACPS has put forward to the community the opportunity to participate in this decision, because I alone am not going to have the sole solution. I think we before we can even get to some of the answers of your questions, it's a matter of what is the community saying, and also not just the parental community, but what are those in the schools that work day to day who have a keen understanding and ideas as to the direction we should be going into, making sure we're listening to all of the voices and at the table. And so I think that's going to be critical moving forward in order to make sure we're going in the right direction.
Well, I answered that, I thought, very eloquently. It seemed like a longer question. I was writing a question out, and I kept thinking about different things, so that's why it seemed like I probably made the question more complicated than it needed to be.
I think you've hit the nail on the head in that it's a complicated topic, and that there's a lot more to it than one simple answer. You know, I think one of the phenomenal things about ACPS is the parents do an incredible job building communities where they are, and so even just taking that into consideration, I think, is going to be a critical element. So it's a complicated question because it's a complicated topic, and there's so much involved in it, and that's why I think it's critical that at this moment in time when feedback is being solicited, that we all have to make sure our voices is being heard and genuinely heard, not just to check the box, but that we're paying attention to all the stakeholders, and that's how we're going to collaboratively get to the right answer.
Well, in the couple minutes we have, I have one more question for you, and that's on the SOLs. Now, as a parent myself, you know, I thought the SOL score improvements were great, but we still lag behind some of the other jurisdictions. So my question to you would be, what role does a school board member play in helping raise academic achievement for all students and close the achievement gap?
Yeah, great question, and that's exactly why I'm excited to join the school board and represent my community, because that is right there is what I've been focused on literally every single day for the last 20 years, is working towards in a variety of ways and strategies on how do you close an achievement gap and how do you at the same time ensure all students, regardless of what they're coming to the table with, that we're meeting their genius where they're at and that we're serving all of them. So that right there is exactly why I'm interested in taking my 20 years of lessons learned and serving my community. With regards to the SOLs, I think we need to recognize, first off, I think we need to celebrate, right? There are very few moments in life that everyone being so busy, we don't pause for a moment and celebrate. So I think, you know, we have to recognize and salute the principals, the teachers who deserve credit for their hard work, and especially the students themselves for what effort they put in to get to those scores. And also, it's a great moment to reflect and identify and share best practices with all of the schools in the city. Places like, you know, Patrick Henry and Jefferson Houston realized double-digit gains. So, again, all of the schools and students themselves did a great job, and it's definitely worth celebrating. That being said, it's also one data point. So the SOLs are a way to evaluate the students in the schools, but it's also important that we focus on, you know, 21st century learning skills, such as critical thinking, cooperation. Just learning in ways that are going to make them competitive in the 21st century for both college and or jobs or whatever is their next life path. And so we just want to make sure that they're ready for that, the students are. And so I think where the board has to be focused on is, you know, number one, making sure that they are being supportive of the teachers, principals, and all school staff that are working, and that we're working hard to support and retain top talent, because at the end of the day, that to me is the most critical mechanism to ensuring that we're closing the achievement gap, as well as serving all students, because all students come to us with their genius and with their opportunities to be challenged. So I think that's going to be critical, as well as just making sure that you know, we're focusing on areas and we're using the data that SOL provides to where are the areas of growth, and making sure that we're working with, you know, curriculum and professionals, and making sure that students have what they need. And then I also think making sure that we are focusing on the learning environment, such as
Veronica,
facilities.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Veronica, I'm sorry. We're going to lose you in just a couple of seconds.
Yep.
So where can we go
I'm
learn
to
more
go.
About you?
Oh, Veronica for schoolboard.com. Yep, Veronica
okay.
from schoolboard.com.
Thank you, Veronica, for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Lee, for having me.
Join the discussion and subscribe to our daily updates on our website, redbricktown.com. Until next time. Come on.